Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 698. Someday we'll get to 900, just not there yet. Our topic is nutrition and the title is Cheap, Fast, Good. So I made a post today on our social media channels. And we have social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter if you haven't checked us out. I do pretty much everything on Instagram and then it connects with Facebook and Twitter. So thank you, wonderful world of connections and stuff like that. Makes it easier for me. But we do post every day. I actually try to post multiple times a day. So if you haven't followed us on social media, please do, because it has a bunch of other content that's hopefully as helpful as these podcasts. Then what the post about today was is the concept of cheap, fast, and good, and how typically in business you can't have all three. You can't have something that's cheap and fast, but then good. And you can't have something that's fast and good, but then it's cheap, because usually if it's fast and good, it's expensive as hell. And you can't have something that's cheap and good and be fast. Usually if it's cheap and good, it takes time or it's slow or there's some kind of interconnection among these three things. Cheap, fast, good. That in business you can't have. Now I'm trying to break that in my business. I'm trying to provide things that are cheap to cost to everybody else, fast in the way in which I can provide the information, and trying to get the person to get the results as fast as safely and correctly possible. So we're not trying to lose, 30 pounds in 30 days because it isn't going to stay off. But can we lose 30 pounds fast and efficiently in a way that'll stay off? And then good is the information good not only short-term but long-term as well? So for example, when I coach athletes for powerlifting and strength, I make sure that we do things in a manner in which will keep them lifting in 10, 20 years. So too often in the world of strength training, people take shortcuts and they do things that in 5 years they won't even be able to be in the gym. They'll be burned out because their elbows, knees, and backs hurt just because they're kind of pushing weight through things and rather than taking the time to really learn technique. So I want things to be cheap in the sense that it's cheap for you, cheap for the consumer. Now, there does have to be some minimal cost for me to stay in business, but I'm trying to dance that line, like I'm not driving around a Lamborghini or anything like that yet. But I'm trying to find ways in which I make what I need to make for, to take care of myself and take care of business and my family. And that's just the reality of everyone. We all want that from our job. So I want it to be sufficient for me, but I also want it to provide it in cheap ways. So I'm learning how to do things faster, more efficiently on my end, learning on different ways in which I can provide help. So for example, we've recently started doing monthly programming. I'm not advertising it too much online yet in our social media because I want to kind of continue to build the experience and develop it throughout the rest of this year before I really push it bigger. But we're trying to provide monthly programming, which includes, brand new training programs every single month for the participants. There's an educational component every single month. There's videos in every single exercise every single month. And that is a cheap service for what it is. But we also do have in-depth services where, I write personalized training, personalized nutrition, personalized accountability plans. I check in with people every single week, email and video or phone call. So we do have different layers of services, and that's been able to kind of create the cheap factor and or kind of balance the cost on your end and my end. Now, the other thing is fast. Typically, if we want things fast, that's going to be something where we all want is we want what we want now in regards to I want my diet plan now, I want my nutrition plan now, but then I also want the results of my training plan now, and I want the results of my nutrition plan now. So we do want things fast, and what we're going to do, and we talk about that with good as well, is in we want stuff that's good for us and also good as in results. So how do we balance all this? When we look at nutrition, that's what we're going to look at today, is what are some methods in which I can do things cheap? What are some methods in which I can do things fast? And what are some methods that I can do things that are good? How do I make sure it's good? I want to talk about this because I think in nutrition, you can have a balance of these. In that a good nutrition plan, whether it's fat loss, whether it's muscle building, whether it's performance increase, whatever your goal is, nutrition, but if you're eating in a way to produce specific intended results, desired results, that nutrition plan does not have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be expensive in the way in which you pay for it. It doesn't have to be expensive in the way in which you fuel it, meaning you don't need fancy, expensive foods. So I saw someone post a picture today of their breakfast, and it had, if I went through and kind of named everything, I don't quite remember the picture, but there was a cup of like different types of nuts, like almonds, cashews, Brazil nuts. Then they had like an omelet with like three or four vegetables in it, sliced avocados on the side, you know, a piece of toast, a glass of orange juice. And it's like, oh my God, that breakfast would, number one, they would have taken forever to make because you have to prep all this like little shit everywhere across the meal. It'd be expensive because you have 4,000 things involved in that meal that, like, I don't even know if it's really worth all that. So those are, and it wouldn't have been fast at all because it would have taken forever to do all that. So, is it a good meal? Yeah. Is it fast? No. Is it cheap? No. So you'll see people do this in their nutrition. Is it might look good on Instagram. It's a great looking picture. It really is. It'll make you stop. It'll look at it. There's a bunch of different colors. It just looks appetizing. It looks amazing. It looks like the perfect breakfast if I didn't have to cook it and I didn't have to clean it. So, but since I am the one who cooks and cleans my breakfast, I'm not going to have a breakfast that has all that crap in it. So for me, you know, a bagel in the morning with some cream cheese on it is good to go. So how can I have nutrition that's cheap, fast, good? Let's go through this. Left me BSing here already. Some ideas for cheap is you can just have regular foods. In no way in which do you have to eat things that are all organic or all this or all that or, you know, just poof. Like, there are things that are so expensive because they're organic, but that does not mean they're better. Even if you were to, if you're considering, like, okay, how in which, the manners in which the food is prepared, is organic healthier for me than inorganic? There's pros and cons, and there's rights and wrongs, and there's yings and yangs all over the place when it comes to food preparation. In general, America's food preparation and delivery is shit, in the sense of, there's a lot of processing that goes through with our food. Every time it's touched by human hands, every time it has a process involved, there's chances for like degradation of quality, contamination, all this and that. And there are certain things that maybe something being organic versus inorganic, it does help. Certain things, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. I typically let my clients pick on their own how they want to handle that. Some people will, I guess one thing I'd like to point out is, unless you go to the facility and really physically see what is happening at that food facility, you're never going to know. Because they can post whatever bullshit they want to post on social media. They can make whatever commercials they want to make. They're going to tell you the good stuff. So they're going to say, oh, we only use blah, 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 you know, pesticides, blah, 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 fertilizer, blah, 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 blah. But do they really? In all of their products, some of their products, who test that to know that that's actually okay? So, I mean, at one point in time, doctors used to recommend smoking because they thought it helped clear your lungs and open your lungs up. Turns out that's pretty damn stupid. But there are always things that we're learning is, okay, if we want to avoid this pesticide for this reason, let's make this one. Then 5-10 years down the road, we realize, oh crap, that wasn't that good either. So our food quality has gotten a hell of a lot better since like the early 1900s and even the mid-1900s. But food quality today, it has room for improvement, absolutely. And if you have the chance to get something, you know, fresh from a butcher, is that going to be better in terms of meat? Most likely. If you can get something fresh from a farmer, is that going to be better from the farmer? Most likely. I mean, we don't even know that. So, for example, I used to live up in Pennsylvania, and you would get, like, vegetables from the Amish, and we found out, thankfully, we weren't taking any vegetables from this one Amish family, but we found out they were using the inappropriate type of waste materials for fertilizer, and it made everybody sick. So, there are cases in which things that sound good, you know, getting this thing from a farmer, doesn't necessarily mean it's that great. So you can do your research, do what you feel comfortable with. But in general, regular foods work fine. When most people are trying to get into healthier states, whether you're trying to lose body fat to be healthier, whether you're trying to build muscle while being healthy, whether you're trying to have increased sport performance, what you currently eat all the time now is totally fine. I'm not necessarily meaning the fast food bullshit, but just the regular foods. There's nothing wrong in the nutritional sense of results, so don't beat me up over ethical things here, but there's nothing wrong with meat, potatoes, rice, pasta, vegetables, fruits. You know, you can throw in dairy, eggs, milk. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. It just has to be eaten at the right time and the right amounts. But you don't need to all of a sudden eat avocados if you've never eaten avocados. You don't need to cook things in duck fat if you don't want to. I mentioned that because I have a client who does cook things in duck fat because he read that some nutritionist said that that type of fat was the best type of fat. And is there a positive to that? Yes, absolutely. But make sure you're also doing the other things that you should be doing. This client is, so he's awesome. He's doing fine. I'm not picking on him. But it's a great example where we hear something being important, and oftentimes people will do that, but then they completely blank on other aspects. So, for example, I would have a client who's cooking food in duck fat, but then every Friday night, you know, goes out and drinks and eats pizza. And it's like, well, probably need to work on, you know, not having 12 beers on a Friday night before we worry about the duck fat. And that's what we want to think of in ourselves and how we handle things, is what are the mistakes that we make? And can I fix the big things first? So one of the examples of things that I struggle with on a regular basis, so believe it or not, I'm not perfect. Oh my gosh. But one of the things I struggle with on a regular basis is under eating. I know that's going to tick off some people, but I have a throat issue. I had surgery when I was really young. My throat is not normally shaped, so therefore when I eat, it's not super comfortable. And over the years, I've just learned that I don't really like to eat. I'm not even that hungry, really. I'm usually too busy. I forget to eat all the time. So somehow I am 280 pounds. I have no clue how. Everyone I know eats more than me. That's the number one struggle I have, is I have to remind myself to eat. And I do a good job of it, but it's an accountable effort every day that I have to do to make sure that I'm doing that right. So before I would worry about whether my one meal a day, you know, was organic or inorganic or had this or that, I probably need to realize that eating one meal a day, no matter how good or bad it is, isn't good in general. So the bigger picture for me is to eat as often as I should, and I want to address that first before I then address the quality of the individual meal if I'm only having one a day. Likewise, if you undereat during the day and overeat at night, meaning you deem yourself too busy to eat during the day, and you don't eat enough, then at night you eat dinner, then you're starving to death, and you overeat all the time at night, and you feel that's a recurring cycle for you, you're mad at yourself, you're beating yourself up over it. And you say, dang it, anyhow, I need to stop eating so much at night. No, you need to start eating more during the day. That's the bigger fish to fry. That's the bigger thing to look at than whether something's organic or not, whether it's, you know, this many omega fats versus blah, 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 whatever bullcrap individual little thing you're looking at. Make sure you fix the big things first. So we're going to get more into that, even though I got into a side tangent. But regular foods work fine. You can buy them in bulk. So I buy jasmine rice in like 5-pound bags. I even think they sell them in 20-pound bags if you wanted to from Costco or something. You buy them in bulk. You can cook them in bulk. So just this morning I cooked 2 pounds of beef with a couple packets of microwavable jasmine rice. Mixed that all together. Got myself 2 big meals. And I got my fiance 2 meals for her during the day. So in 30 minutes, it was actually 26 minutes. That I started getting everything out by the time I had everything put away and cleaned and done. So in 27 minutes, I cooked 4 meals. My meals are very large compared to her meals. But in a sense, I cooked 4 meals. And if you're doing that for yourself, that means in a half hour a day, you could cook your whole day's worth of food. If you're doing that for a family, in a half hour, you can cook a couple people a couple meals. You don't have to cook per meal, per meal, per meal. That takes forever and it chews up most of your day. So cooking things in bulk helps a ton. That also makes it cheap because you're buying larger portions, which in America they encourage you to buy larger portions and make it cheaper, cheaper, cheaper. You can also buy things in fresh / frozen states. There's nothing wrong with buying a bulk of meat, saving what you think you're going to use in the next day or two, putting it in the fridge, freezing the rest. There's nothing wrong with buying frozen vegetables. Totally fine. You don't have to buy fresh vegetables all the time and then watch them rot and go to waste if you don't use them fast enough. So when we think about how to save money, is just buy the foods that we currently eat and or kind of healthy bulk foods. And these would be, proteins are going to be your most expensive by far. So it's going to be meats. But you're looking at like red meat variations. So whether you want steak or ground beef and then all the different types of steak there is, you can do different types of fish. You can do whitefish, salmon, stuff like that. We can do chicken. You can do chicken breast, chicken thigh, all that stuff. So meats are good. As for carbohydrates, kind of what you're going to get your carbs from, your energy from, meats in general, most meats will have some fats with them, which is energy as well. But carbs, you're looking at, it's potato, potato, pasta, rice, oats, vegetables, beans, if you count those as vegetables or not, fruits, things like that. It's all stuff that is relatively cheap. So you don't have to buy expensive foods, not at all. Then think about fast, like how do we make things fast, is the way in which we cook food. We can buy things pre-packaged, pre-ready for us. So one of the snacks I have throughout the day are salt and pepper cashews. They come in a 5-ounce bag. I eat half the bag per meal. Totally fine. I don't even have to cook that. I just have to rip the top off of it and then dump it down my face. So buying things that are pre-packaged, pre-made does help. Now, a nut is pre-made, so you want to find it in like a more natural state. So like an Oreo is pre-made. You don't have to make an Oreo, but it's not that healthy. So trying to find healthy versions of those foods, like fruit, it's already made for you. Just pick it up, put it in your face, eat it. Pretty easy. So we want to find things that are fast and easy. Cottage cheese, another thing, you just rip the top off, start eating right out of the container if you want. If you know that like within a single container of cottage cheese, there's 3 servings, you eat a third every time you eat it, boom, you're done. You don't even have to measure it out. It's so much faster when we cut out the bullshit about how we perceive things that need to be presented to us. If we look at the basics of what's real, you can get diets that are fast. So, for example, I talk about a bagel sandwich every morning. I can put a bagel in a toaster that takes, I think it's like less than 2 minutes, around 2 minutes to toast. Within that 2 minutes, I can pull out some lunch meat out of the fridge, some hot sauce, and then I'm sitting there usually like twiddling my fingers waiting for the bagel to be done. When a bagel comes out, I pour on the hot sauce, slap on the meat, squish it together, carry it out in a paper towel, and I eat it on the way to work. Super fast, freaking easy, less than 2 minutes. I cooked that beef and rice this morning. The beef took less than 15 minutes. It was ground beef. I just chopped it up, put it in a frying pan, sprayed the frying pan with the olive oil cooking spray, put the beef in there, and turned the heat up. While the heat was up, I actually prepped the breakfast I was going to make, which was eggs and a bagel for my fiance. Then, whenever the beef started getting closer to being done, I put the 3 packets of instant rice in the microwave for 90 seconds. When it came out, I put it all in a big bowl, sloshed it around, pushed it around, mixed it up, dispensed it into individual containers, cleaned up all the containers, and like I said, I was done in like 27 minutes, 26 minutes. Pretty fast, pretty easy. If you're trying to cook meat, so people ask like, well, do you grill meat? Do you fry meat? Do you bake meat? Blah, 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 blah. For the most part, just don't deep fry and you're fine. So you can spray a frying pan with a cooking spray, use scissors, cut the meat up into smaller pieces. It cooks faster. Throw it in the frying pan. And in like 10 minutes, you have freaking meat that's done. If it's steak, it's super fast. So that's one of the ways I cook at night, is I have a 90-second microwavable rice pack. I cut up meat with scissors, like a steak, like a sirloin steak or ribeye, with scissors in chunks, throw it in the frying pan, and then I eat that with the rice. It's all done. It takes less than 10 minutes to cook and clean from, and I get a big meal. You can do double the portions, triple the portions, and still, in less than 20 minutes, have that meal completely done. Things can be fast if you get rid of the belief of how you think things need to be. Can you eat straight out of a cottage cheese container? Hell yes, why not? What the hell is the problem with that? So in my family, my poor, poor family has to realize that if I have a thing of milk or if I have a thing of orange juice in the fridge, they probably don't want to drink from that because I drink directly from the containers. I think 8-ounce glasses or 16-ounce glasses are an absolute waste of time because I drink more than that and I don't want to fill up the glass like 400 times. So I just drink straight from the milk container, straight from the orange juice container. I sound like a savage. But things don't have to be elaborate. Like, I don't have to clean a glass every time I want to freaking drink something. And it's just, there's so much speed that can be found in the way we eat if we let go of the bullshit of how we think it needs to be done. Then, how do we make sure it's good? This is the part that takes some effort. Do you have to try when you're looking at changing your current efforts to new ones? Yes. Do we all have to accept the fact that we have to put in an ounce of effort to change something in our life? For the love of God, yes. If you want to change what you're currently doing to something new, you will have to put in new effort. That new effort requires a new way of thinking, a new approach, new methods, new ideas. We have to do new. In order to do new consistently, we have to put in effort and attention to the new consistently. So, can we have something be like easy in the sense that it's good? We can make sure it's going to be beneficial for us, but it doesn't have to be like, you know, earth-shatteringly hard. Yes, we can make diets, whether they're fat loss, muscle gain, sport performance, we can make diets very easy to understand, very easy to track. But do you have to put in some effort to tracking them? Yes. Oh my God, just yes. Finally, just get the hell over it. Well, I just want to eat based on how I feel, and then I'm just going to, you know, do it that way. I don't want to count calories. I don't want to track foods. I don't want to have to pay attention. Well, then you're not going to get results. What the hell? Like, that's stupid. Nothing in life can get zero attention and give us anything back in return. Go ahead and do that with your relationships. Give them zero attention and see if that person gives you anything back in return. Go ahead and do that at work. Just don't go to work or show up to work and piss around on your phone. See how that goes. Of course we have to give attention. People have to get over this. You do have to put in effort. One of the beautiful things, though, is as you put in the effort initially, it becomes natural and it becomes much easier. It's like learning to play an instrument. When I pick up a guitar, I cannot be Eric Clapton instantly. I have to learn how to play the damn thing and make proper sounds out of it. I have to learn how to read music. I have to learn how to play scales. I then can turn the scales into like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. And then eventually someday I can play the most awesomest version of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star ever. But it takes time. If you ask Eric Clapton, does he have to think while he plays the guitar? He's going to tell you, hell no. It's natural. Ask B.B. King. Ask Jimi Hendrix. Ask any of the greatest guitar players. Do they have to think when they play? No. But did they have to think when they first learned how to play? Yes. Okay. So, if we're going to have to put in effort, what do we put in effort towards? Number one is timing. Pay attention to your freaking meal timing. If you eat meals when it's appropriate, you will feel awesome during the day. You won't have very many cravings, if at all. One of the main reasons why people have intense cravings is because they eat inappropriately for the activity level. If you eat more when you move more, eat less when you move less, you will have less cravings, you will feel better overall, everything about your nutrition is going to go better. Podcast number 249 talks about meal timing. And podcast 329 talks about meal frequency. Those are two components you want to add together to make sure you're doing that correctly. Next thing you want to do is track your calories. You want to put them into some database. MyFitnessPal is so freaking easy, it's almost mindless at this point, that you just look up the food, you enter it. Once you look it up once, you can save it as a regular thing. So just track your calories. See what you do on a regular basis. Try to narrow down the complete inconsistencies. So if you have one day you eat 1,200, the next day you eat 3,000. Let's try to narrow that down a bit. So it's normal to have some caloric cycling, where on active days they eat more, on inactive days they eat less. But that might be a 300 to 400, you know, calorie span, depends on the person. But it should not be a 1,000 plus calorie span of active days versus inactive days. Unless you're doing extreme high activity, such as like, you know, marathon running and, you know, cycling and crazy endurance, long duration things. So if I have a client who, you know, runs 10 miles, they're going to have a higher calorie day than a day they don't run 10 miles. And that's absolutely normal. But chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, there's not many of you that run 10 miles a day. Now, that's what we want to do. We want to track our consistency in our calories, track our consistency in our timing. If you email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, I will send you a chart for free that you can use to track your consistency. Free. Now, when I do it with clients, we use Google Sheets document so I can refer back to them. We can create notes and change it around a little bit. This is a Word document, but it's a great place for you to learn how to start. But that's what we want to do. We want to be consistent on our timing, consistent in our tracking of our calories, and then you just adjust based on what you see and what you feel. If you want to lose weight, but the scale isn't going down, eat less when you move less. Now, this is important to note real quick. Pay attention. Hello, hello, wake up. You know, Earth the listener, okay? Do you want to lose weight or do you want to lose fat? Those are different things. If you want to lose weight, the scale must go down. If you want to lose fat, sometimes the scale won't go anywhere. Because if you combine that with good resistance training, you will actually be building muscle tissue. So the gaining of weight of muscle tissue counters the losing of weight of body fat, and sometimes the scale doesn't move anywhere. But that's success. That means you're recomposing your body of how much muscle versus fat. So just because the scale isn't going down does not mean that you're not losing body fat. Hello, hello, wake up, wake up. So, do you want to lose weight or do you want to lose body fat? If you want to lose weight, the scale must go down because that's what a scale measures, is weight. If I want to lose body fat, I do not need the scale to move. I don't want it to go up, probably, but I don't want it to go down, especially if I'm lifting weights, because that means I'm trying to build muscle at the same time. So I want to make sure I'm feeling leaner, I'm looking leaner, my clothes are fitting leaner. So those are the things you want to measure, not a scale. But if your goal is weight loss, the scale must go down. So if you're not having the scale go down, eat less when you move less. Take calories away from meals, away from your workouts. Let your workouts be fueled so you can feel good while you do them. If you're trying to gain weight and the scale isn't moving up, eat more when you move more. Eat more around workouts. Start fueling your workouts better before you add calories to meals away from workouts. Feed the workout meals first. If you're not having enough recovery, eat more protein. If you feel like your strength isn't kind of increasing along with your programming as much as you think it should, first of all, you might need to look at your programming, and you need to sleep more. But if you've improved your quality of training program, if you've improved your quality of sleep, and you still need help, you can eat more protein. But increases in strength are more correlated with sleep and proper training rather than like adding just more protein over and over. So that's what we want to do. We want to track consistency. If we want stuff cheap, it can be cheap. Just eat regular foods, buy in bulk, cook in bulk. Fresh frozen foods are fine. You don't need to have, you know, fancy, amazing foods. If you want stuff fast, learn how to prepare it fast. Buy things that are already prepared. Learn how to cook and prepare foods quickly. If you want it to be a good diet, yes, it can. Just pay attention to timing, track your calories, and be consistent. You can have cheap, fast, and good when it comes to nutrition. It's just not going to be the cheapest, the fastest, or the goodest, but you can have a nice blend among all of those. Great. Now, if you want any help putting together a program, in all of our podcasts, we've had a bajillion of podcasts that should help you know more about like a nutrition plan, how to put all that together. So let me see if I can. Setting up a meal plan, for example, is podcast number 277. Setting up a meal plan. So if you want to do that on your own, you can. We've given you the tools. Podcast number 277 explains it, setting up a meal plan. Now, if you want us to help to save you the time and make sure you got it right, of course we'll help. We're going to charge you because it's our time and energy invested. But if you want it for free, it's out there, podcast 277. If you can't find the link, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. I'll send you the link. But if you want us to help you, we will help you. We offer training programs and structures that have been used for well over a year in many, many, many clients. Dozens and dozens and dozens of clients. They've used that program for over a year. And it has resulted in something that was less than $10 a month for them to have great, proper, healthy nutrition that let them live the healthy, happy life that they wanted. We have offers for training templates where you can use a training structure for well over a year. I've clients like dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of clients. So I've worked with over 2,000 people in the 18 years I've been a personal trainer. So when I say dozens, it's probably over 100. I don't even know at this point. Like it's, if I sat there and counted, it'd take me forever. But there are people who follow this information for well over a year. It costs less than $10 a month to know for a fact that you're training right and eating right. So you can have peace of mind towards your training and nutrition for less than $10 a month. It's pretty damn good, okay? So you can reach out to us to learn more about that. And we have different levels of support. If you just want the programs and run on your own, that's fine. If you want accountability help, check-ins every week, we can help with that as well. Check out the services on www.brutalirongym.com. But again, you don't have to pay us a dime. Don't pay me any money. Go listen to podcast 277 and do it on your own. We talk you through the steps. So if you want us to pay us for the help, great. If you want to do it on your own, great. I just want you to be healthy and happy, and I appreciate you listening to this podcast for the last 31 minutes and 37 seconds. I want to thank you for your attention. And that's the best we can do it, is give you all the information you need to do it on your own, but if you need some help, we're here as well. Thank you very much for listening. I do hope this podcast was chock full of a bunch of good information. If you have any questions about today's topic, reach out to us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. We're happy to answer questions. We can turn your question into a new podcast, so it's great. Just please send any questions whatsoever. Let us worry about whether they're good or bad questions. So you just send them and we'll answer them. Sound good? And then if you do like this podcast, if you think it would be helpful to others, please share it on social media where a lot of people can see. And we can get the word out on good, healthy nutrition information. So if you will, please do that for us. I thank you for listening to the podcast. I'm assuming that since you did listen to the podcast, you think it has value. Share that value with others. Share that value with family. Share that value with friends. Share that value with people you love that you want to live their best life too. So please share the podcast. Please, please, please. And then also, like we said, you can always find us on social media for more information on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Questions, feedback, suggestions, anything at all, this podcast absolutely 100% is for you. Please let us know what you want to know. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.